Certainly it's good to be with you this morning as we enjoy the beautiful weather that we have been provided. It has been a change from the things that we have endured over the last few months, and it is good to see each and every one of you out this morning. We have a good number. We have visitors with us. We're thankful that you have decided to pay us a visit, and we hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us. I held a meeting, just as mentioned in the bulletin, in Brookville just this past week, and a lot of the members up there remember a lot of the members here, and they said to say hi, and it was good being with them during that time and the effort that they made in spreading the gospel there. For the time that we have together this morning, I'd like for us to talk about the faith that we have and the erosion of faith. We oftentimes have an opportunity to travel about from place to place, and I have had an opportunity to live in several different places. And as you go about, you can see some of the erosion that takes place in the land that we call the United States. As a matter of fact, we have monuments to erosion throughout our nation. There is a monument out in Arizona called the Grand Canyon that's a national park, and it shows the erosion and the effects of water and wind. We see this everywhere that we go. I lived in West Texas, out in the Amarillo area for a while, and you really see the effects of the wind and the water as it can carve big gullies and rivers out of the land there. Children are taught the importance of soil conservation. We have been taught this ever since we were very young, because those who live from the land, those who are farmers, recognize the importance of maintaining the land exactly where it is and not being washed away. And it seems that the more land erodes, the more expensive it becomes to restore. Whereas in the very beginning of any kind of erosion that would take place, someone would just take a little time and just a little bit of observation, then there would be a great deal of money and time that could be saved. And I'm afraid that this is a problem in a spiritual sense with some who are children of God. There is an erosion of their faith in their life. I am aware of people, and I am sure that you are aware of individuals that have been Christians, that have been at one time faithful members of the body of Christ, and yet because of something, because of an erosion to their faith, they have fallen away. We use the term that they are out of service. They are no longer serving God as they ought to. And the simple reason is they no longer have faith in God. It seems that the troubles and the problems and the disappointment and discouragements of this lifetime have chipped away slowly and has eaten away at their soul. Eroded land is something that is easy for us to spot. You don't have to be a genius to see out there, and as you're looking across a field, to see erosion there. Especially, as I was saying, this was something that was true in Georgia where I was raised, because the soil down there is so red. And when you see that red land and that red clay compared to the green grass and the trees around, you can spot it very easily. But the erosion of faith is something that is harder to spot, because it takes a perceptive eye. It takes an individual who has their mind set on spiritual things. The Bible constantly gives us warnings of this danger, and yet we find too many simply cannot see that their faith is being eroded day by day by day. When it comes to lost soil, we find that this harms the land. But when it comes to a lost faith, that this is something that damages the soul and the eternal well-being of that individual. There are causes for erosion. I think we understand this. And again, it doesn't take a genius to figure these things out. Physically, I don't have to take a bulldozer out here to this back lot or a backhoe or some heavy equipment and dig some big, long trench out there in order for erosion to eventually take place. Children taking the same path across the lawn every day will eventually begin to wear down that ground. As a matter of fact, since we have been here, I have noticed, I always come in this back door whenever I come over to the building, and there is beginning to be a path that is worn between the back door and this door over here. And although we have been here only a few short months, I can begin to see that now. Some of you might think, well, all that much weight going across that three or four times a day might be ought to be knee deep. But even little children, going across a yard once or twice a day can begin to wear the soil down to where the grass will not grow. And when the grass doesn't grow and the ground becomes compact and very hard, the wind will both blow through there, the water will go, and eventually erosion will take place. Little by little, not a whole lot at first, but little by little, and the process is very slow. And it's almost imperceivable, but it is something that is sure. And eventually, you will begin to take notice. You will begin to see that something is changing as erosion takes place. Now, the solutions are very easy in the beginning. If you catch it in the early stages, there's not too much time nor too much money you need to spend in taking care of physical erosion. But if it goes too long, then there's going to have to be extensive work and time and money to be spent in order to restore that. And we think to ourselves, as far as physical erosion is concerned, why does it happen? Why did it get that far? And most of the time, it's just because of inattention, that it is happening so slowly that we do not know that. There's only a little change from week to week or month to month. And it has been said that familiarity discourages objectivity, and I believe that that is true. The more we become familiar with something and see it, the less objective we become, and we don't see it truly as it really is. And we begin to think to ourselves concerning this physical erosion, well, it's not so bad, or I'll get to it later. You know, we all get around to it sooner or later. We'll get that, and we'll take care of that at some time in the future. And before we know it, the erosion has taken place and caused damage. Spiritually, this happens to people. Erosion of their faith takes place. This is exactly how it happens, a little bit at a time, a little bit every day. I don't know of a single person that I can say that right now that they have lost their faith, that they lost it overnight. That one day they were very vital and very active in the work of the Lord, and they went to sleep that night and they woke up the next day and their faith was gone. They decided that they were not going to do anything at all for the Lord. This does not happen. What happens is that when it is left unattended, when it is left unguarded, then it is going to diminish. It is going to fade away. And one of the things that we need to realize concerning our faith is that it is not an absolute. That is, once you have it, you are never going to lose it. This is what people believe in the religious world concerning salvation, that once you have been saved, you are always going to be saved. Well, if that's true, the same thing would be true concerning faith, that once you have faith, you are never going to lose that faith. But we know that that is not true. It is not an absolute. We can lose it. We can lose these things. Faith must be constantly attended. It must be constantly strengthened all the time. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, add to your faith virtue and your virtue knowledge. There are things that we are to add to our faith. These are things that we are to cultivate and make a part of our everyday life. Romans 10 and 17, it says their faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must give attention to the word of God. We must hear it. We must apply it in our lives if we want our faith to grow. And this is an everyday proposition in our life. And once we begin to neglect that, then faith is going to erode. The word of God is going to begin to slip away from our life. In Psalms chapter 1, we read of a man there who meditates on the word of the Lord, meditates upon his word day and night. Here is one who is constantly giving attention to their faith in God. to that faith which comes from a study of the Word of God. And they are not going to neglect it. And the roots of our faith are always to be found in God's Word. They cannot be found in the philosophies of man. They must be found in the Word of God. It is there where it is going to grow. And this is the rich soil which is going to produce a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. And without this constant care, one of the things we are going to discover is that Satan has a way of chipping away just a little bit every day at our faith, causing it to erode. Because every one of us, I don't care who you are, you have problems. Now, some may have greater problems than others, but even from the smallest to the oldest, we have problems in this life. We are faced with temptations. Every one of us are. We have trials that we have to come in contact with from week to week or perhaps month to month. And maybe the trials that we call them, as we call them, don't come to us all the time. They are there, though. The temptations. And so many people have decided that they, because of these temptations, are going to go back into the ways of the world. They have fallen away from God. And we ask ourselves, what is it that has happened to that person? Why have they decided to take this course of action in their life? And the answer is very simple. Their faith is gone. They no longer have that abiding faith in God. Because of tribulations and temptations, that faith that they had is slowly gone away. We would ask ourselves and scratch our heads and we would say, well, when did this happen? When did this individual lose his faith? And again, we have to scratch our heads and say, I don't know. I don't know when that happened. It didn't happen overnight. That person didn't decide again. And they'd wake up one morning and their faith would be gone. But nonetheless, it is still true. That person had lost their faith. Even though they could not see it, even though they were not able to perceive it at a particular moment in their life, their faith was gone. Concerning that particular individual, and again, I'm sure you know of one, perhaps you know of more that fall into that category. We would ask ourselves the question concerning them, where did this start? How did this start in their life? How did this slowly chipping away at their faith, the eroding of the foundation of the life that they ought to be living, pleasing in the sight of God, where did it start? Well, with some individuals, we might have said that, well, it started when they stopped reading the Bible. When they no longer gave attention to the Word of God daily as they did one time in their life. And because of things in their life, they no longer had time to sit down and to meditate on the Word of God. Maybe that's when it started. Or maybe it started when they slowly failed in their attendance unto God, as they would not meet with those of like precious faith. And one time it may have been that this was an individual who was there every time the door was open. You could count on them week in and week out and meeting in and meeting out. They were always there. But something started in their life. Something happened. And before too long, they were not at the meetings anymore. And then they began to miss Wednesday night. And then they begin to miss Sunday night and Sunday morning class until finally it got to the point of where they were not here at all. Perhaps it all started when they missed that very first one. But again, we don't know exactly when it did start. Perhaps it was when they failed in their prayer unto God. Again, their life became so filled with activities that they no longer had time. And they didn't pray to God. They couldn't get the strength that was needed through prayer. Or perhaps it started when they lost interest in spiritual things. Once again, worldly pursuits caused them to have absolutely no time anymore for God. And they spent every energy and every amount of time and money that they had in these worldly pursuits. And as a result, slowly, the spiritual matters in their life no longer became important. By the time that individual, and we use the term quits the church, is out of service, by the time that individual reaches that point Far too often, the damage is already done. And it is, I am sure, I am convinced it is the truth, that many people come to church, quote, and they are here even after their faith is already gone. Their faith has been eroded to a point of where they are just here out of habit. I am convinced that there are some, perhaps in this very city today, who are part of a faithful congregation, that their faith is already gone, that they are just sitting in the pews. They are sitting there in body only because their faith in God has already eroded. It's already gone. And it's just something that they are doing out of habit and out of practice. The Bible speaks of being aware of small things and the importance of those things that are small. In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, the prophet there, or God through the prophet, says, "For who has despised the day of small things?" And they were talking about the rebuilding of the temple in the city of Jerusalem, and all the things that every day counted, and the little things came together to produce the overall result that they wanted. And nobody was despising then, or should despise, those things that are small, because they're going to add up eventually. Proverbs 30 and 24 through 38, we read there of the proverb is talking about the small things such as the ant, and the rabbit, and the locust, and the spider, and how they are small and they seem weak, but the things that they are able to do because of the efforts that they make. James, in James chapter 3 and verse 4, talks about the tongue, that it is a small member of the body, but the things that it's able to do. He says, "Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so is the tongue a little member, and boast great things." Those things that are small, we should not despise. We should not think that they are eventually going to add up to nothing at all. In Matthew chapter 25 and verses 31 through 46, we find there Christ making a division between the good and the evil, between those who have done righteous and those who have done unrighteousness. And as we read through the list there, we note why they were divided, what they had done. And it was the very small things, giving a cup of water, giving some food, giving some clothing to those that had need of it. Those were the things that we would consider small, but God says add up. We should not despise those things that are small, but we do have a tendency to overlook those things. We have a tendency to overlook the small details in our life, and they begin to add up. And even though the faith that we have may be something that we would consider as being great and almost unshakable, it is the little things that have a way of chipping away at the foundation of our faith, of those spiritual houses that we are striving to build. Small things. Excuse me. These are the small things that chip away at our life and at our faith. You know, oftentimes I've never had to experience this, but I was, you know, this is something that we talked about when we were children, talking about a Chinese torture test, how that they take continually one little drop of water and how that it drops and drops and drops. You know, one drop of water is not much. But as you continually allow that one little drop of water to go somewhere, it is eventually going to wear down things. And this is the way that problems have. Though they may be small, if they are left unattended, then they have a way of wearing us down. We would like to think that if someone came up to us and held a gun to our head, and told us that we are either going to deny Jesus Christ or we're going to die. Most of us would like to think that we would rather die than deny Christ. But I don't know of any of us that's going to happen to. I don't know of any of us that is going to have to face that kind of test in our life. But what we are going to have to face are little things, little discouragements, little temptations and daily pressures and disappointments. All of these things are going to begin to add up in our life. We're always going to have problems at home. Regardless of how smooth the household may run, there are going to be problems. There are going to be troubles that may arise between husband and wife, between parents and children. There are going to be problems. Even in the workplace, or maybe we might say especially in the workplace, there are going to be problems that are going to arise. That we're not going to get along with others and things are not going to go our way. Even in school, children find, don't you? Things don't go your way. You've got problems to overcome. All of these things have a way of chipping away, if we're not careful, at the faith that we have. We are perhaps mistreated by other Christians. Problems arise at church. Other Christians are causing us anxiety simply because of our concern for the way that they live and their failure to be pleasing in the sight of God. Their physical sicknesses and illnesses, their injuries that come. Every day, there are those things that will erode our faith. And although we might consider them one day at a time being something that is very, very small, if we are not careful, they can erode it completely. And when it is gone, when that faith is gone, we might ask ourselves, what was the last straw? What was that thing that caused that other individual to lose their faith? And we might say to ourselves, I don't know. I don't know what it was, but they did reach that point. And we can't pinpoint one thing, but it was a lot of little things. And just because we don't see it coming doesn't mean that it won't happen. We can lose our faith. We have seen through the nation of Israel, and we have seen through people ourselves in our own lives that this can happen to them. That a little bit at a time, finally, over a period of time, the faith is gone. In response to this, knowing that this can happen to us, what can we do? What can be done to safeguard ourselves? To make sure that this doesn't happen unto us. Now it becomes obvious finally what happens when that individual quits the Lord. They're no longer faithful at all. The damage to their faith by that time is something that is very extensive in their life. And as in the case of major soil erosion, it's going to take a major amount of effort on the part of others and that individual. And a major time in order to bring that person back to a position that they were once in. What happened to that individual? The problem was that they lost their faith. They had a lack of faith. Quitting the church, stopping worship or out of service unto the Lord, that's only a symptom of what is the problem. The real problem is they have lost their faith. People need help before that point is reached, before they eventually lose their faith. You know, it's much easier for us to rekindle a fire from glowing embers than it is to get one started from cold and wet and dead wood. You know, you see a glowing ember in a fire and you realize it won't take very much to get that started up again. But if you look at a pile of wood that's cold and wet and it hasn't been burning, then you know it's going to take a major effort to get that started again. And this is the kind of way that we find with faith. It's easy also to stop physical erosion. That's easier than rebuilding a whole field. We must be diligent. We must be watchful in our own life and in helpful to others. To spot this failing faith, how can it be prevented? How can we prevent erosion of faith in our life? Well, one of the answers is the Word of God. To simply stay by the Word of God. As we mentioned a few moments ago in Romans 10 and 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we want to maintain our faith, then we have got to educate ourselves in the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to know it. We need to understand it. And we need to believe it in our life. And to believe it means that we're going to apply it in our life. It is the Word of God that is the only thing that is going to build faith in us. It's not the philosophies of men. It's not the wisdom of the ages. It is the Word of God. And so we need to read and study the Bible. It seems, though, that we have time for everything else in our life but the study of the Word of God. And this is the reason, I'm afraid, that some people leave God, is because of the worldliness that is before them, the influence of others, or perhaps it is the bad examples or the evil companions. Maybe these are only symptoms. And the real reason is they've lost their faith. Because of that, they fall away. What we need to do is plant ourselves by the rivers of water. Plant ourselves by the Word of God and nurture ourselves upon that which comes from Him. We also need to pray. This will help in the erosion of our faith and facing problems day to day. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 and 7, we find that Peter says there, "Therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." God cares for us, and the way that we have of building up our faith is by laying our petitions before him. God loves those that are humble. God resists that individual that is proud. And faith can only grow in a heart that is humble, in a heart that is the rich soil for the Word of God. Humility there. Daily cares can erode our faith. We can think that all of these problems that we have to face, that we can overcome them by ourselves. We don't need any help. And whatever comes our way, we will conquer it. But oftentimes we find that that problem overcomes us, that we are bent under it rather than going and overcoming it. We have to realize that it is God who is in control. God is the one that has control. What we need to do is cast our cares upon Him. But all too often, we find some members of the body of Christ who have a fear of casting their cares upon God. And the simple reason is they don't think He's going to solve them the way they would. That they will do something the other way and God's going to do something else. Or perhaps that He is too slow. And of course, this again is just another symptom of a lack of faith on their part. It is God who knows our every need, and He will provide for us those needs. What can be done? We can worship God as we ought. Truly, He is worthy of any kind of praise that we can give unto Him. Any honor, any praise that we can give Him, He is worthy of that. Worship does us good. It doesn't do God any good. God's not going to change if we do worship Him or we don't worship Him. He's going to remain the same. Worship unto God does us good. And so we need to do that. We need in our worship to build faith and strengthen ourselves. And this is a way that we have. And when we neglect that worship of God, we are going to neglect an avenue whereby we can have our faith grown. How can we grow, or what can be done? We can associate with those of like precious faith. We can avoid worldly people. We can't avoid them altogether. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Else we would have to go out of the world. But what we can do is learn to choose those friends who will be helpful to us, who will build up our faith and not tear it down. There's so many things that are going to tear down our faith anyway. We don't need to choose those associates who are going to do that anyway. We need to choose those that will build us up. Far too many have lost their faith simply because they have chosen worldly friends who do not have the same values that they do, who are not living by the same standard that they are. How can we build our faith up? Choose those as our friends who have faith in God and associate with them. We can also do good deeds. Jesus said that greatness in his kingdom depends upon service. Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28. He talks about that. Greatness in his kingdom depends upon service. Now, man's concept of greatness is just the opposite of that. That you're great if someone serves you. If you are an individual who's in charge and you can tell this person do that, that person do that, come here, go there, that's greatness in the sight of man. To have people serve you. But in the kingdom of God, it's just the opposite of that. And that is, we are great when we have an opportunity to serve others. And a Christian who thinks and works for the good of others, that's an individual who is increasing their faith in God. Selfishness and laziness destroys faith, and we have to stay away from that. What can be done? These things, such as study the Word of God and prayer and worship of God, all of these things can be done and need to be done. If we could use a graft, I suppose we might say, to show our faith on, our faith needs always to be growing. It needs always to be going in an upward position. It needs ever to be going in a way that is pleasing in the sight of God as we strive to show our love and demonstrate our love for Him. And when we study and when we pray and when we worship and when we do good deeds, we associate with those of like precious faith, there's an opportunity for that faith to continue to grow. But I wonder, is our faith like that? Or is our faith, if we could put it on a bar graph or whatever, is it just kind of a straight line? Are we struggling to maintain whatever faith that we have? Or are we growing? For a child of God, it should be growing. For that individual who doesn't give attention to their faith, the things in the world are going to slowly begin to chip away. And before too long, it may erode altogether. Faith can erode. Little by little. Day by day. Pressure by pressure. Until finally, it may be gone altogether. We need to give careful evaluation to the faith that we have in God. To that which motivates us. To that by which we live. Is it growing? Or is it just a struggle to maintain where we are? If that's the case, then maybe we are allowing the world and the things of the world to chip away at us. Let us grow in faith. This is something that is needed. If you're not growing, then what you need to do is study the Word of God. Apply those things in your life so that, again, you can be pleasing to Him. Evaluate your own life this morning. How is your faith? Is it eroding or is it growing? Generally, we won't stand still. Generally, we won't stay in one place spiritually. We're either going to be going forward or we're going to be going back. How is your faith this morning? If you're here this morning and not a child of God, we have selected a song that we're going to stand in just a minute to sing. And it will be a means of encouragement to you to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. How is your faith? Is it strong enough to be obedient unto God? Is it strong enough to set aside all of those things that would hinder you from becoming a child of God? How strong is it? It needs to be that strong. You need to surrender unto Christ. He's the only hope of salvation that any of us have. And we must surrender to Him. The song has been selected. If you're present, the invitation is to you. Then won't you make your way forward this morning? Won't you do that which is right? We encourage you as we stand and as we sing the song.